And from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus had taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them, and many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A young Baptist seminary student for one of his classes needed to interview someone from another denomination. And so he decided to interview a Greek Orthodox priest. And this is a true story. I am not making this up, okay? And during the interview, the topic of baptism came up, and the priest admitted that he really did not enjoy baptismal Sundays, to which the seminarian was puzzled. I mean, it surprised him. He thought this should be a glorious, joyful day. And the priest said, but you don't understand. He said, on those Sundays, people arrive at 5 a.m. for an 8:30 service. And there's a lot of chaos and it's hectic and a lot of jostling around. He said it's a lot like Black Friday shopping. And the young seminarian said, well, he said, why would people act like that? He said, well, let me explain it this way. He said, you're Baptist, so you believe in believer baptism, right? Well, we believe in infant baptism, and we believe we baptize infants by immersion. So he said, what happens when you take a baby and stick them in warm water? Well, they might cry, but they also pee. And when there are 12 or 15 kids to be baptized, we don't have time to change the water, so you want yours to be first. We are in the season of Epiphany, in which we celebrate the visit of the Magi, the first miracle, and the baptism of our Lord. And last week, I spoke to you about baptism and why, you know, what it means and why Jesus needed to be baptized. And Jesus told us, and in John, he said, it is to fulfill all righteousness, to make all things right between us and God. And the question we wrestled with is last week was if John's baptism was for repentance, but Jesus was sinless, why did he need to do this? And we learned that in making all things right, Jesus needed to identify with us. And so he was identifying with our sin. He is becoming more incarnate with us. In Isaiah 42, God said he will send his chosen servant and that he would put his spirit on him and the spirit would bring justice to the nations, make all things right. And Jesus, as God's servant, well, his first responsibility was to be obedient to the Father's will. And for Jesus, that was to take on the sin of the world. Now, in order to do that, Jesus needed to empty himself of the things of heaven. And so he began emptying himself. And he left. He was born as a human being, flesh and blood. He became like us, and he was like us in every way but one. He was without sin. So Jesus emptied himself, he humbled himself by being born in human flesh, and now at the Jordan River, he once again empties himself and he humbles himself by submitting to a baptism of repentance, even though he himself was without sin, in order to identify with us, to identify with our sin. Maybe this will explain it a little better. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, even though he was not a slave, he took on the likeness. He took on the role of the lowest of slaves. And here in the Jordan, he was taking the form and role of the lowest of sinners. Jesus' baptism was the start of his taking on of our sin. And when he was after he was baptized, he immediately got up, went into the wilderness, and he began his three-year journey to the cross, his ultimate emptying and taking on our sins, which fulfilled all righteousness. It made things right between us and God. And I've recapped that with you this morning in order to get to the heart of today's topic, which is the baptism, not of water, but of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3:11, Jesus said, John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than me, and I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And in our text today in John 1:32, John testifies, he witnesses to this truth and says, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him." Remember Isaiah 42? God said he would send his Spirit upon his servant. And he said, and John goes on saying, "I wouldn't have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water, God, he told me." He said, "The one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And in our other text, John 1:5, just prior to his return to heaven, Jesus told his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak of. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So we have three instances here where we hear of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what is it? And that's what I hope to explain to you this morning. I'll tell you the topic is of large debate. It's highly debated, mostly between Protestants and our Pentecostal brothers and sisters who believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experiential event. And if you don't have these wondrous experiences like speaking in tongues or prophesying or interpreting, then you haven't yet been baptized by the Holy Spirit. However, we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a positional event, meaning it places us somewhere different. It changes our status. When Jesus told his disciples that in a few days they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, he was speaking about Pentecost. And true to his word, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was given to all believers. Now, prior to this, the Holy Spirit was not available to everyone. Only those who God chose, like Gideon or David or Esther or Deborah or any of the judges or prophets, okay? And we know this because in John 7:39, we are told the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus told the disciples that unless he returned to the Father, the Holy Spirit would not come, could not come. Thus, the Spirit age could not begin until Jesus ascended, was glorified, and he sent his Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, that's exactly what's happening on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit became available to all believers, and at the same time, the church was born. By faith, you and I are part of this church. Now, there are many metaphors for the church, to describe the church, the bride of Christ, the good shepherd and his flock, the household with God as a father and we as adopted children, a building, a spiritual temple with Christ as our foundation. But the most unique metaphor of describing the church is as the body of Christ. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor and check them out. Well, don't check them out, but look at how they're Everything works. Everything's put together. The human body is quite unique, isn't it? The human body is perfectly joined together so that everything functions in harmony. And so too the church has been brought together in union with Christ and all believers through the work of the Holy Spirit. And the church is a body with Christ as our head, totally dependent on each other, one entity. And this is the definition of the church. And everyone in the church has the Holy Spirit living in them. Now, let's be clear. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about a building. Many people have come in and out of the buildings and haven't had the Holy Spirit in them. When we're talking about the church, we're talking about the people who know the Lord, the body of believers, indwelt and united by the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus promised, and it's what took place on the day of Pentecost. And from that day on, everyone, at the moment they say yes to Christ, receives the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Bible calls the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the moment you say yes, the moment you believe, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. It happens one time. Now, for the disciples, it was a bit different because there has to be a beginning for everything. And so the Spirit had not yet come. So they were believing and had to wait for their baptism of the Spirit. But from that point on, after the day of Pentecost, the coming to faith and the Spirit baptism are at the same moment. Now, our Pentecostal brothers and sisters would disagree with us here, for they see faith and salvation as one thing. When you say yes to Christ, you are saved. But then they see the baptism of the Holy Spirit as something else that happens maybe 2 seconds later, 2 minutes later, 2 years later. As I said, we believe the Holy Spirit baptism is positional, basically changing our status and placing us within the body of Christ. And it's really non-experiential, okay? It occurs on a divine level without any real reaction. It's something God does with us. It's like a birthday. You know, people always ask you, do you feel any different? You know, when you turn 21, did you wake up with electricity just buzzing through you? When you turn 50, did something miraculous happen? No. I remember when I was ordained, something that I worked hard for years to receive, and I was wondering, when the bishop lays her hands upon me to ordain me, will something happen? Will I feel a tingle, a shock, or feel energized? And nothing like that occurred. When you were saved, did you feel anything like that? You know, just something, you know. No, not usually. It's a non-experiential thing. But our Pentecostal brothers and sisters will say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is experiential. And when it happens, you will do these things like speaking in tongues and prophesying and interpreting. And if you don't do these things, then you were not baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit doesn't live within you. But let me explain why we believe that to be wrong. And I'll begin just by simply by quoting Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:30. Paul explicitly tells us that every believer has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, but not everyone will speak in tongues, not everyone will interpret, not everyone will prophesy. Nowhere does the Scriptures urge believers to seek the Spirit's baptism. Because if you are a believer, then it's already happened to you. But the Bible does urge us to seek the filling of the Spirit. Further, no one has ever spoken of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit more than once. But the Bible is filled with instances of the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we are told that on the day of Pentecost, that they were all together. And Luke is referring to all the believers, which we're told in chapter 1:15 was about 120 people. So they were all together worshiping when all of a sudden a sound like a violent wind came from heaven and filled the room. Now the Greek word for wind here is a derivative of pneuma, which means wind, but it also means spirit, God's spirit. You see, this wasn't, they were in a room. The doors and windows were closed. They were locked. This God didn't just blow a wind in to catch their attention. This was the Holy Spirit blowing in upon them, God's Spirit. And this, friends, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon those 120 believers. So right there, Jesus' promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled. Now, the next thing that happens is that as a sign to these first believers, what looked like tongues of fire came down and lit upon them, but they were not burned. Now, I want you to take note. The Spirit came into the room, and tongues of fire came down and lit upon them. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and all of them at that point then were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. What you have in verse 4 of Acts chapter 2 is something different from the Holy Spirit baptism. It is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Notice that when the Holy Spirit blew upon them and baptized them, it was kind of non-experiential. They didn't fall down. They didn't start barking. They didn't start getting the shakes. It just happened to them. And at that moment, they were placed into the body of Christ and the church was born. Paul described it in this way in 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. So this is the definition of the body of Christ. Now listen to this. Paul's next words are a definition of the baptism of the Spirit. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into this body. That's what baptism of the Holy Spirit does. It takes a lost person at the point of salvation and positions them into the body of Christ, into the church. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a divine act of God in which the Spirit takes a believer and places them in the body of Christ. And there's nothing that you do. You don't cry out. There's nothing. And we wouldn't even know it except for the Bible tells us that this happens. But there is more. Going back to 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul says, not only are we baptized by one Spirit into the one body, but we are also given the one Spirit to drink, to take in, to be filled with. What it means is not only are we placed in the body of Christ, but the Holy Spirit now is placed within us. The Spirit lives in us. I know some of you, you know, and you're thinking, but can it happen? I know whenever I was, you know, became a believer, I was baptized, I felt something, and that may be true. I believe the baptism and the filling are two separate things, but they can happen at the same time, but they don't have to. I mean, Caleb and I were talking. We remember the day that we said yes to Christ, but it wasn't until years later that we felt filled with the Spirit. So maybe they can happen at the same time, but they are two different things. And here's why one is positional and one is experiential. One places you in the body of Christ, but the other empowers you. It gives you the tools to go out now and do the work of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit happens once when we believe we are placed in the body of Christ. And that's good as long as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the filling of the Holy Spirit, that is something that can happen again and again and again. My missions professor, Dr. Ragsdale, when I was in seminary, told us of a friend of his who experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. He and this friend were in South America ministering to a native tribe of people who only spoke their native language. That was it. And this man would preach to them through the use of an interpreter, because he didn't speak their language. But one day, the interpreter didn't show up. He was sick. But the man felt strongly that God still wanted him to bring the message, and so he stood up. And when he opened his mouth, the people heard him speaking fluently in their language. And he did this for an hour and a half. And when he sat down, it was over, and he never spoke fluently in that language ever again. That is the filling of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, was the man baptized in the Spirit? Yes, 25 years ago when he said yes to Christ. But now, when he needed it, he was filled with the Spirit to do the Lord's work. You see, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive power. The baptism of the Spirit gives you power, but being filled with the Spirit turns it on. It's like when you're baptized in the Spirit, you're wired. You're like a house that has all the wires running through it. But when you're filled, the breakers are turned on. And now the power is there. So if this filling of the Spirit is available to all who are baptized in the Spirit, then why don't more people experience these amazing things? Well, as we said last week, in order for Christ to become like us, he had to empty himself of the glories of heaven. And for us to become like Christ, we have to empty ourselves of the things of this world. The law of expulsion says two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. One must yield to the other. Thus, in order for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must empty ourselves of the world and our desires and our agendas and be open to the work of the Spirit. Why don't more people experience the miraculous things? Because they refuse to empty themselves in order to be filled. But this isn't the same as being part of the body. That's the baptism of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is what empowers you now to do the task that God placed in front of you. The filling can come at any time and can happen over and over and over. And some of you can testify to that here today. Because some of you, you have done things in the name of Christ that you never thought you could do, filled with the Spirit. Some of you, while worshiping, have experienced incredible, just overpowering joy, filled with the Spirit. Some of you have had visions and great ideas to do stuff in the church, filled with the Spirit. Some of you have done courageous things by preaching or sharing the gospel with a neighbor or something like that, filled with the Spirit. Some of you have led others to Christ, filled with the Spirit. But in order to be filled, we must yield. We must empty and make room to be filled. Friends, I hope today's message answered more questions for you than it created. But if you do have more questions, please seek me out. We'll talk. But for all of you who through faith in Christ have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, let us go into the new year seeking ways to empty ourselves in order to be filled so that we can turn on that power that resides in each and every one of us so that we may make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen.